I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, actor Danny Pudi. You might know him as Abed from the sitcom Community. He says spending a few seasons with the cast of that show has made him pretty resilient.
I worked on a show with Chevy Chase. I am not surprised by anything.
Also this week, some very impatient and very real aspiring cat journalists are upset about Cat Fancy Magazine's rules.
I have a great story about taking cats to the cottage that I want to submit now!
All this, plus an interloper is perpetrating shenanigans inside Cop Squadron, a shocking revelation about Star Wars, and the world premiere of brand new music from soulful singer Harmar Superstar. It's all on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, this is Wits. I'm John Moe, coming to you from the Fitzgerald Theater in downtown St. Paul. A little bit about me. I believe things. I have beliefs, and I would like to share some of my beliefs with you now. I believe in keeping my friends close and my enemies closer. That means going camping with my enemies and attending couples therapy to strengthen our bond, taking cooking classes with my enemies and spooning with my enemies at the end of a long day. If my friends are jealous, well, they should have been my enemies. I believe in spelling out emoticons instead of typing a colon and close parentheses. I believe in typing out the words colon and close parentheses. I believe that you can also use your phone to call someone just to chat and not convey any particular information. But if you do so, you are a crazy monster. I believe in following the shampoo bottle's instructions to repeat after lathering and rinsing. I go through an entire bottle of shampoo with each shower, and when it's empty, I call out, "What now?" It's alarming to my family. I believe the rabbits in my yard are super cute and have destroyed any opportunity for me to garden, and so I should thank them twice. I believe no one has ever learned anything from a worksheet. I believe blood should be called body gravy in order to confuse and delight vampires. I believe, in my heart, I believe that when Don McLean sings about the day the music died, it is a reference to the day his horrible song was released. We're all meeting for an alley fight after the show. I believe the beast that can't be killed that is mentioned in the Eagles song Hotel California is the Eagles song Hotel California. I believe that the marijuana eventually sold at Starbucks will be overpriced and not very good, but people will buy it anyway. I believe cookie sales will spike. And I believe that if we all are actually screaming for ice cream, we should not be given ice cream. I believe we got a great show from Community. Actor Danny Pudi is here. Singer Harmar Superstar is with us. John Munson and the Witnesses with a horn section this week, and Christina Baldwin and Mike Fotis are in our acting company. The magazine Cat Fancy has an informational website of guidelines for freelance writers who may wish to submit material. That site has a comment section where cat journalism freelancers have some very strong feelings. We now present some of these actual comments as short dramatic monologues. This is Cat Fancy Writers Guidelines User Comment Theater.
Dan, Ingram, Texas. You failed to quote your rates paid. Even if they are widely flexible, you could still quote a ballpark standard or a minimum maximum in each category. Not citing your rates sends writers rather quickly to the websites of your competition. You are likely to pay at least as much as your competition, but why should I have to wait until January to find that out? The piece I have written will have probably been printed by then.
Sandy, Vancouver, Washington. Why do you only accept submissions between January and May? I have a great story about taking cats to the cottage that I want to submit now!
Wendy, New York, New York. I'm surprised that an author's past work is requested. What difference does it make what they wrote before? Is it not what they write for cat fancy, which is important?
She's got a good point. Dwayne, International. As a freelance cartoonist, it's a total pain in the butt jumping over all your unnecessary hurdles to get something published. You're all the same. The high and mighty critics who don't understand how much effort goes into each piece, I won't even consider sending you material.
Joe, Middleton, Maryland. Your writer's guidelines are crystal clear, and I understand why you require samples of previously published writing.
That's good. I like that one. That's my favorite. It's our moms. That's great.
Abigail, Williamsburg, Virginia. Hello! I think you should accept cat poems too.
Danny Pudi, Harmar Superstar, Christina Baldwin, Mike Fotis, Janie Winterbauer, and me as aspiring cat writers. He is an actor, perhaps best known for his role as Abed on the TV show Community. He has also appeared in films such as Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Road Trip Beer Pong.
Yeah!
Danny Pudi, welcome to Wits.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, we're in Minnesota, and you're a Midwest guy. You're from Chicago, which is a great city for comedy.
That's right.
Was there a lot of comedy around your house when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think so. I am half Polish and half Indian, right? So...
It's a comedy cocktail right there.
That happened, yeah. And we had to laugh. but I think so. I mean, my family was, first generation. So my mom came here from Poland. My dad came here from India. And we had a lot of relatives in our house at all times. So we were like the first family to come to America. So there was constantly people coming into our house, which were like, oh, that's your aunt. That's your uncle. And I'm like, are they really your aunt and your uncle? You don't really know. But they're all coming here to start their lives. So it was always like... active and colorful in our house. And then I, it's hard to believe, but my body was always like this, kind of. So
radio audiences, he is thin.
Yeah, so I had to overcome that. Definitely there was a lot of like opportunities for humor in my house. Yeah.
You ended up at Marquette for college and in Milwaukee.
How much?
And you were the recipient of a Chris Farley scholarship. What kind of legacy did Chris Farley leave behind at that place?
It's funny. I definitely did not get an academic scholarship to Marquette. I think tremendous. I mean, I was very aware of Chris Farley. I mean, I was such a huge fan of his comedy, watching him, Chippendale, Saturday Night Live. Everything about him I thought was just so... just his physicality and his comedic presence was just instrumental to me. So when he passed away, they established this scholarship in his name at Marquette, and I was fortunate enough to be the first winner. And it was all about using comedy in a positive way. So, but for me, it was really important in many other ways because it's sort of gave me a direction, a focus. I didn't know what I was doing in college. I was just like looking at girls and like, you know, just looking at them. That's it. That's it. That's it. It's sad, actually. It's actually kind of sad.
What's Danny doing over there?
Just looking.
He's looking.
Just looking. I think that with the scholarship, it sort of gave me this focus that maybe I could do this for a living. So I followed a lot of what Chris did. He went to Second City in Chicago, and then so I went to Second City to study comedy further. And from then on, I kind of really started taking it seriously. So
yeah. You end up on this show, Community.
Yeah! Thank you. Thank you.
How soon into making that show did you realize, oh, this is different from other TV shows? The fans are very, very devoted to this program.
Yeah. There was two phases of the process with Community where I was really overwhelmed and surprised. I think the first one was just reading the script. I knew right away when I read it. My agents have never done anything where they're like, this is your dream role or anything like that. This was the first time, and I think still like the only time they're ever like, this is your dream role with the script. So immediately I was like shaking because I was like, I don't want to read it because I'm not going to get it. And... It's a good game we play.
Yeah.
It's a good game we play, right? And so I read it, and sure enough, I was like, I'm not going to get it! I was so terrified of it because
it's
I thought
it was... that positive attitude you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I psyched myself out a little bit. But I think it was such an excitement that I had read something different. It was very fresh. The characters, besides Abed, the whole story was different. I saw everything right away. I thought Dan Harmon's voice was very unique, and I immediately just identified with it. So that was the first step. And then when we went to Comic-Con after the first season, it was the first time we were in front of an audience besides like our family members that would come to our set wondering what we're doing. And that when we received such a great response, and people were dressed up as like Batman, and people were wearing like human being outfits, and and everyone wanted to do the La Biblioteca rap with me, and I was like, people are actually watching this show? I thought it was like a web series. Now we are kind of a web series. So
the dream is fulfilled.
I guess. Yeah.
How would you describe Abed to someone who has never seen the show?
So Abed has a encyclopedic pop culture knowledge. I think he is a student of human behavior. He's very passionate about film and television and sort of the rules that apply. And
what do you mean by the rules that apply?
I think TV tropes, film tropes, things that he's very aware of structure. I think his world, it's modeled after growing up on television. I think a lot of people can relate to that because... At this point in time, if you're not familiar with like a structure of a typical sitcom, it's you're inundated with it. You kind of know the formula now. And I think with Abed, there's something so comforting about that, you know, about just knowing that this is going to happen in our first act, something or in a cold open, we're going to be thrown into some kind of journey, and then we have to figure out, you know, who's going to solve it, and then there might be a B story where I'm like, you know, starting a fraternity. And then at the end, we got to tie it all up. But that, for Abed, that's a way to look at the world and help make sense of it. And I think for Abed, he comes from a troubled home, a troubled background, where things didn't often make sense. His parents are split up, and people, I think, have never really understood him, and he's struggled to connect with people. And I think the best way for Abed to connect with people is through television and film.
There's this phrase that's always applied to the show Community, 6 seasons in a movie. Mm-hmm. What is that?
So that's like a catchphrase that took on, there was an episode where Joel McHale, the incredible Joel McHale, was telling me that the cape is not going to live. Remember the cape? And I was a fan of the cape.
What's the cape?
The cape was a TV show, short-lived.
Okay.
And so there's an episode where the whole time I'm basically running around with a cape, yelling 6 seasons in a movie about the cape that I wanted to last for 6 seasons in a movie. And then from then on, our fans are so incredible. They just use that as our sort of like hashtag, almost like, you know, it became like our show's, you know, calling card. And so there's been a hashtag 6 seasons in a movie from, I don't know when that was, maybe 3rd season. And
you've reached 6 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a movie on the way?
I hope so. I mean, at this point, I don't even question it. I have no idea. There might be. They might be shooting this right now as part of the movie. I literally don't know. I worked on a show with Chevy Chase. I am not surprised by anything.
Last question I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Is Chevy Chase just as terrible as I've always imagined him to be?
I'm going to say no. I actually really, I got along with Chevy. Interesting. I will say Chevy is, first of all, it's incredible working with someone that you grew up with, like watching. Like, I loved Christmas Vacation as a kid. I mean, it was all the vacations, but Christmas Vacation especially, I just, like, that was, you know, special to me. And so it's just crazy working with someone like right next to you, like looking at scripts. And then, you know, there was one moment where we're like getting ready for a table read and I'm standing next to Chevy and I'm looking at a script and he's like, I think I should say erection here. And I'm looking at the script and I'm like, and we're both having a normal conversation about it. I'm like, no, it's funnier if it's erections. And then we're just having this conversation and then they're like, oh, Dan and Chevy, they're ready for you. I'm like, okay, great. We're just finishing up this talk about erections. And I was like, can a job be any better than that right there where I'm able to talk with Chevy about how erections is actually funnier than erection? And he agreed with me. It was like, so as crazy as our story has been, I had a really wonderful time working on the show.
Danny Pudi, everybody. Our musical guest this week is a good friend of the show. His latest album is Bye Bye 17. Please welcome Harmar Superstar.
You guys want to hear a new song? Excellent. Let's do that.
day.
Harmar Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses, Matt Darling, Zach Lozier, and Chris Thompson in a horn section. More with Harmar Superstar and actor Danny Pudi in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Want to see Wits in person? Well, we have some great shows coming up. We're making our very first trip to Austin, Texas. On May 21st, we'll be at the Paramount Theater with comedy legend Fred Willard.
Hey, what happened?
You know him from A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, Anchorman, Modern Family, and so many more. Plus music guests Carrie Rodriguez and Shiny Ribs. Thanks to KUT for sponsoring that show. Plus, we have one last show coming up in St. Paul this season with Cary Elwes. He's Wesley from The Princess Bride.
The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
Don't worry, our theater has immunity to Iocane powder. The music guest for that show, singer-songwriter Kat Edmondson. Tickets at witsradio.org. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with singer Harmar Superstar and actor Danny Pudi. Here again, actual comments from Cat Fancy Magazine's Writers Guidelines website. This is Cat Fancy Writers Guidelines User Comment Theater.
Emmy from San Diego, California. Gosh, I was hoping to submit an article, but after reading the other comments, I am going to steer clear of this publication. Also, your submission guidelines have a very stern tone that actually invites potential writers to look elsewhere. I could have written the guidelines that would actually welcome writers. It's a shame because I could have been a valuable contributor.
Nadia, North Bergen, New Jersey. My husband and I are artists. We are interested in showing Cat Fancy readers a short comical comic strip of cats, specific breeds each month, doing silly, rememberable moments. Could someone please point me in the right direction?
Susan, Dallas, Texas. I don't care for it. I've read many of your articles, and frankly, I don't see what is so special. As a novice writer and cat lover, I find it hard to believe you have the expertise to be so critical.
Anna, Madison, Indiana. Hello! Just wondering if Cat Fancy accepts poetry submissions.
Bobby, Rochester Hills, Michigan. These are fairly standard freelance guidelines. I'm not seeing the problem. Am I missing something?
Benny, Bradenton, Florida. The one thing I need to know is not included. Do you accept articles about cats that live both indoors and outdoors? Danny Pudi, Harmar Superstar, Christina Baldwin, Mike Fotis, Jamie Winterbauer, and me as aspiring cat writers. Here with more music, Harmar Superstar.
Now we're gonna do a Stevie Wonder cover.
Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses, Matt Darling, Zach Lozier, and Chris Thompson in a horn section. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Tillman, welcome back
yes.
to Wits.
Thank you.
I should stipulate, I will refer to you as Sean Tillman or Harmar Superstar
That's
throughout
great.
The course of the show. They are the same person, ladies and gentlemen. You are such a fireball on stage when you perform. Tell me about the first time you got up on stage to perform as Harmar Superstar, like under that name.
Well, it was like not as magical as this was, I gotta say. Early on, sorry, I'm like out of breath. And
that's all right.
I think I used to do a split set with my friend Howard Hamilton, who had a project called The Busy Signals at that time. And so we'd go up and he'd kind of be my DJ, even though we were like playing tracks off a mini disc player. And it's a cool shout out to technology that doesn't exist.
Yeah, right.
And so we'd like sing his songs and then I would get up and do like some Harmar songs. But like it was a really awkward phase because I was used to playing guitar in bands. So I was like kind of up there like, ooh, what do I do with
Didn't
my arms?
Right? Yeah.
So it's kind of like this weird robotic nothingness probably about these songs. I was wearing like weird pajamas and a cape and like a...
That's college right there.
Yeah, super college. And
did you have to kind of be in a character to get up?
Yeah, definitely. I had to like put on a thing and take off my shirt and sort of get into it that way. Like it was the only thing I could think to do, really. So I stuck with that through the years.
That's, yeah. But like... In recent years, you've kept your pants on more than you once did.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a grown-up, man.
I want to see the robot arms and no pants. That's what I want to see.
You'll need a time machine, I think, for that. And you're performing some music on our show this week by some of your heroes. You have Stevie Wonder, Sam Cooke. When did you discover that kind of music?
Well, that was kind of like oldies radio already when I was a kid. Yeah. So... I was kind of like what I was addicted to. I didn't really know who the artists were, but I like throughout the years kind of like these songs sort of collected in my brain. And then I finally figured out that they were like made by people. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, they've got a name. It's like this.
And is that how you taught yourself to sing by doing those?
Yeah, things? I would like, you know, dance along to like Thriller in the Mirror and like sing and little moves and have my like fake little Michael Jackson glove that was just reflective stickers on a white glove.
You were telling me before the show you recently saw Stevie Wonder live.
Oh my God. I just saw, Songs in the Key of Life tour was insane. And sorry, it was like the best show I've ever seen in my life.
What was so great? I mean, Stevie's great, but what was so great about it?
He sounds amazing. His voice sounds exactly like it does on the record. He's hilarious. He's like making blind jokes the whole time and like kind of like challenging his backup singers to like singing contests. And like, he just like had this like charisma that like, no one else could have, and he's sort of just watching him play is like, it's just so genius and inspiring, but like it's like a thing you could never even reach because he's like such a one of a kind brilliant talent. At the end of the show he calls himself DJ Tick Tick Boom. And he does his encore as DJ Tick Tick Boom and just like DJs his own hits.
That is amazing.
It's so amazing. He's literally one of the funniest performers I've ever seen. I was not expecting that at all. But like, you're crying the whole time because the songs are so beautiful.
Like, when you're doing a song by like by Stevie Wonder or by Sam Cooke, how does it feel different for you in the middle of one of those songs, interpreting that as opposed to one of your own songs?
It's like definitely more of a workout.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, I hope I can hold on to the end. This guy, like. Like, it's a high range, man. I was screaming over there.
Pretty big. Does it feel soulfully different, or are you just trying to think of the notes?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this weird connection with something that happened before you. But it's hard to explain without sounding like a total gross hippie.
I think you're in a safe place.
We're in a safe place.
These guys are going to judge me, man.
Yeah. Who are some contemporary artists that remind you of some of those classic old voices?
If you get a chance to listen to or see Charles Bradley, he is the king right now. He's like, his story is great. He kind of like was a Brooklyn James Brown impersonator for a lot of his life. And he just like worked these rough jobs and lived in poverty forever. And he finally, at like the age 62 or something, released his first album through Daptone. And now he's touring the world and crushing it and still doing like knee drops and splits, and he's like crazy. His original music's so heart-wrenching and amazing. You got to check it out.
Overnight sensation at age 62, right?
The age of 62.
All right, now I need to ask you about your Hollywood career, Sean. You might have seen Sean in at least in the first Pitch Perfect movie.
Yeah, sure.
Who among the very famous people you've met, hung out with, worked with, who we might know, who you're confident has no memory of ever meeting?
I have a good one with I used to like sometimes I still look a lot like Ron Jeremy, and
the adult film actor.
So I had
well-known adult film star,
a very famous adult film star. I'd see him around, and I used to follow him around parties. Like, I remember one time
Whoa.
No questions there.
Why did you follow Ron Jeremy around parties?
Like, one time I was at the Playboy Mansion, and I saw Ron Jeremy, and I was just really drunk, and I kept following him around going, Dad. Dad.
Oh, God.
And he loved it, but I know he didn't remember because I was hosting like an awards show like a year later, and I saw him walk in the building with a piece of paper with a picture of me on it, and he was obviously looking around the room for me, even though like he didn't need a pic. He's like the guy who looks like him. And so I like tapped him on the shoulder and like, looking for me. And we had a good show.
The connection was made. Parmar superstar, everybody. Sean Tillman, your stage name, Harmar Superstar, comes from a shopping center in Minnesota, Harmar Mall.
Oh, yeah.
Danny, you are from Chicago, which also has a lot of malls.
Yes.
This makes you both experts on all things malls, or Back does it? This is a game called Help, I've Been Mauled, spelled with two L's. I will ask you questions alternating between you. Whoever gets the highest score wins the game. Danny, you'll go first. Yeah. The King of Prussia Mall, just outside of Philadelphia, is one of the largest malls in the country. According to Wikipedia, which should know, how many Auntie Anne pretzel shops are located in the mall? A, 1, B, 12, C, 5, D, 8.
Oh, man. D, 8.
The answer is 5.
Ah! That's still a lot, though. Come on. Still enough, right?
Sean Tillman, are there any malls in the state of Wyoming?
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to say yes. There's...
Yes is the correct answer.
I mean, what's a state without a mall?
How many malls does Wyoming have?
One?
4.
I'm sorry, the answer is 3.
Whoa. Oh.
Making it one mall for each person who lives in the state of Wyoming.
Oh, man.
Danny, back to you. True or false, you could fit over 350 Statues of Liberty in the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota.
350 statues?
350.
What are you people doing here?
True or false?
Okay, I'm going to say it's true.
False, you could only fit 258.
Which I've done.
Sean Tillman.
Yeah.
What?
True or false, Sean, after the metric system, using Statues of Liberty to gauge measurement is the most accurate way to measure size and distance?
A definite yes on that one.
No, I'm sorry, it's football fields. No points. Danny Pudi, the movie Mallrats took place in a mall and has mall in its title, which means it can be part of the quiz. Yes. What year was the movie released? 1995, 1993, 1997, or 1936?
I'm going to say 97.
It was 95. I'm sorry, ooh. Danny Pudi.
I'm still shocked that there's more Annie M's than there are malls in Wyoming. In one, there's 5 Annie M's in one mall.
In King of Prussia. Harmar Superstar, according to internet, what is the average salary of a mall security guard? $22,000, $25,000, $34,000, or $75,000?
I'm going to go $25,000.
That is correct. Yeah. Harmar Superstar gets a point.
All right.
Danny Pudi, yes. True or false, mall walking is a good way to get fit, but there will always be an undercurrent of sadness to your improved physical state.
I'm going to say it's true.
It is true. Another point for Danny. Sean Tillman, true or false, 62% of all fish and aquarium shops in strip malls are just fronts for drug dealers.
Why do I get this question? Yes.
Yeah, don't you think? It's impossible to say, but don't you think?
Yeah,
I'll give you the
come
point.
On.
We can all agree.
Come on.
Fish. Slanging fish.
Right? Sean Tillman, the National Mall is in Washington, D.C., except here's the weird thing. It's not a mall. It's just a dumb old park. Which of the following are not a part of the National Mall?
Okay.
The Lincoln Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the National World War I Museum, or the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial?
Oh.
Which is not, no, don't help.
Can I hear C? What was C again? I was just dozed.
All right. The Lincoln Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the National World War I Museum, and the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, which is not part of the National Mall?
I'm going to go with the Korean War Memorial.
I'm sorry, it's the National World War I Museum.
Oh man.
Which is located in Kansas City, which is where World War I started. Or maybe not. Go to the museum and find out. I'm not going to help you. Danny Pudi, Darth Maul is a Sith Lord.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Who appears in episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and is defeated in a lightsaber battle by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Name the actor who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in The Phantom Menace.
Oh.
Let him think.
Can I steal this one?
Okay, Obi-Wan was Liam Neeson. Hayden Christensen. No. What? Jimmy, help me. Ewan McGregor.
I'm going to take away a point.
I'm sorry, guys.
That was the answer.
You guys just discovered I am not Abed.
The answer is Natalie Portman.
I'm our superstar. Actor Richard Maul is known for playing Bull the Bailiff on the show Night Court.
Yeah, this is my kind of question.
Oh, nice.
What role did he play in the 1981 Ringo Starr comedy Caveman?
Oh, my God.
Is it A, the inventor of the wheel, B, a Yeti, or C, Caveman Paul McCartney?
Hey, I don't need your help. I don't need your pity help here. Because I was going to say Yeti.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Harmar Superstar is the winner of the game. Congratulations to Harmar Superstar. More with Danny Pudi and singer Harmar Superstar in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with actor Danny Pudi and singer Harmar Superstar.
Hey, you know what's great about being in Cop Squadron?
Everything?
Well, I was thinking of all of it, but yeah, everything also works.
What the hell are you guys the hell saying?
Whoa, where did you come from?
If you can't see that, the apple's so full of worms that it's not even an apple anymore. It's a whole mess of worms squirming around in the shape of an apple. If you can't see that, then wake up and smell the worms.
You just can't sneak up on people, man.
And especially don't sneak up on people and then yell at them.
Yeah, especially about worms. Gross.
Especially when we're the people.
Where did you come from, even?
I was in the shadows.
What are you, an officer or a vampire? Or wait, I have a third one, or both, and a fourth one, or a Batman.
I'm none of those things.
I thought you'd at least be one of those things, the officer one. If you're not, what are you doing here? Cop Squadron is for cops only.
That should be as obvious as the fact that it's a squadron.
I'm working here. I'm a recruit.
A recruit from where?
The shadows.
We don't recruit from there, buddy.
I'm not your buddy. I have no buddies. I'm Jack. and I'm a recruit, a shadow one if you want to get technical, and I have one open case.
Of what could you possibly have a case of that's open that's yours?
Besides a nutcase, which is not the kind of case you open, so I feel like my barb was not up to scratch, yeah, so I rescinded. Yeah. Let's just forget I said anything and go back to talking about what kind of case you, a recruit of shadows, have open.
A DVD case of Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Ooh, I haven't seen it. Is it good?
Oh, the quality of said movie is not the issue, so much as what an open case of its DVD has to do with you being here in a restricted area.
Open your eyes, or are they used to the dark? My name is Jack R. Mittenmetz, and the R is for Ryan. And if you think that's a coincidence, then ooh, boy, buddy, you haven't a prayer of ever getting out.
I am certain it's a coincidence. And getting out of what do I not have a prayer of?
The shadows! Open your eyes and wake up!
Do you think those are two discrete actions?
Everything I do is discrete!
I meant distinct from each other.
Did you?
I promise I did.
Hang on, I never saw that movie. Was it a documentary?
Yes.
No.
Which?
The agency I work for is so secret that it doesn't have a name.
And what agency is that?
It doesn't have a name.
Everything has a name.
Hang on. Does the agency not have a name because it doesn't exist?
It might not exist. Do I exist?
Yes.
Do you?
Definitely.
Who can say?
I can.
Also possible, this is just some guy who snuck in here to avail himself of free snacks and guns.
Anything's possible.
Even that scenario I laid out?
Especially that scenario.
Especially in the sense that it's true?
Who knows?
You do!
Or does the conspiracy run just that deep?
What conspiracy?
Touche! All right, I'll play your game. Which conspiracy?
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. We don't call it a conspiracy, we call it a cabal. And we meet every Tuesday.
Dagash!
What? He already knows about it.
Does he?
Do I?
Don't you?
I don't. But never mind. The too much you said was just enough. I have what I came for.
Nuts and guns?
No, and also yes, and also information! You won't see me again unless you dare to recruit yourself to the shadows.
Well, maybe. How's the 401k there in the shadows?
Lousy!
Oh, no thanks, then. Mike Fotis and me as cops, Danny Pudi as Jack R. Mittenmetz. Once again, actual comments from Cat Fancy Magazine's Writer's Guidelines website. This is Cat Fancy Writer's Guidelines User Comment Theater.
This is from my uncle. Arnie, International. I have a great idea for a new book about cats and dogs together in the same book. You'll corner the market with this book, which I already use in my elementary classroom presentations. May I submit my idea and some of my cat and dog poetry?
Sandra, Sarasota, Florida. I wonder why you only accept queries between January and May. I understand you plan your issues far in advance, but wouldn't having your articles ahead of time help you do that?
Obviously, I have an article I would like to submit on my cat's experience with radioactive iodine treatment for hypothyroidism. But it appears I must wait until January to submit my query.
Deborah, Charlestown, Rhode Island. Hi. In your November 2010 issue, you have an article on cat names. You asked for names which could to those in your article. Well, we adopted Miss Katie Sunshine, but we can't claim credit for her name as her previous owners gave her that name, and she is our sunshine. We named her baby boy Mr. Frisky Business. He is frisky. And he is our small business. We adore them both. Best, Deborah and Frank.
Nothing to do with the writer's guidelines whatsoever. Brenda, Bowling Green, Kentucky. I think Cat Fancy shouldn't be so uppity about its readers' submitted manuscripts or brief stories. After all, are the movie stars your largest supporters? Or are you in business because of us ordinary cat lovers who buy your magazine? I will not buy your magazine now that I know how snooty you are about hearing from us or our reading our stories submitted.
Ramona, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Great guidelines. I have most of my questions answered.
Yes. Christine, Union Grove, Wisconsin. Hello. The guidelines are very clear. However, there is no mention of poetry. And this is my specialty. Do you accept poetry for submission? Thank you.
Danny Pudi, Harmar superstar, Christina Baldwin, Mike Fotis, Janie Winterbauer, and me as aspiring cat writers. Once again, Harmar superstar. In your life, go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us, we're at Wits. Thanks to our friends actor Danny Pudi and singer Harmar Superstar. Our technical director is Corey Schreppel. Our coordinating producer is Hans Buto. Autumn Burgraff is our intern. Thanks to Ali Lozoff and the staff at the Fitzgerald Theater, Tom Campbell, Aaron Cassio, Dan Zimmerman, Alan Freckman, and Mike Wongan. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker and Mike Fotis and Christina Baldwin, both of whom also acted in this week's show, along with Janie Winterbauer. We're joined by our music director, John Munson, and the witnesses, Joe Savage, Steve Rome, Richard Medic, and Janie Winterbauer, and our horn section for this week, Matt Darling, Zach Lozier, and Chris Thompson. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Our senior producer is Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.